This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The 87th Academy Awards Show airs this Sunday with host Neil Patrick Harris, his first time hosting the awards show. There are 8 nominees for Best Picture, and it's a diverse list, which includes Selma, American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Birdman, and Boyhood. Which films and actors will win an Oscar this year, and which should win? Contributing film editor for Cincinnati City Beat and Dayton City Paper, T.T. Sternenzi, and WVXU entertainment contributor Larry Thomas take a look at this year's nominees. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And T.T. and Larry, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here.
As always, and good to see you again, T.T.
Yes.
Larry, there are 8 contenders for Best Picture. It really is a wide array of different movies, from American Sniper to Whiplash. Do you see any clear front runner among this year's nominees?
The front runners have gone back and forth. People will say, well, Birdman today, Boyhood tomorrow. I think right now it could go either way. It might even be a surprise, but I don't think any of the others stand much of a chance.
T.T., what about you? You see any clear front runners in this whole thing?
You know, I would tend to agree with that, although I guess in the industry there's always this talk that with the two front runners like this, there's always a chance that a dark horse might sneak through and claim the prize. But at this stage, I do believe it's either Boyhood or Birdman.
Okay. Let's look at the nominees, and we'll talk about them in alphabetical order. American Sniper. Larry, what might make this one a winner, and what might hurt its chances?
It might be a winner simply because it snuck in under everyone's radar and became a massive box office hit. It is another film by Clint Eastwood, who at 84 is still at the top of his game and going strong. And it's something that has resonated with the American public.
T.T., what do you think of American Sniper? What are its chances, and what might pull this one down?
You know, I would tend to agree. I think at this stage, that film is really, it's in Eastwood's wheelhouse. You know, he had a couple of films, Jersey Boys and the Hoover picture, that didn't quite hit his sweet spot. This is definitely it. And again, it's obviously been a huge hit at the box office.
Larry, it's kind of interesting. Clint Eastwood, he wasn't nominated for Best Director, was he?
No, he was not.
Hmm.
A lot of people make the argument, how can you be nominated for Best Director if you have
the best movie,
the Best Picture? Yeah, but you know, that argument's going on for hundreds of years after we're gone.
You know, there's been positive and negative reaction to American Sniper, but I guess this is a case, T.T., where the voters need to get past all that noise and look at how the movie was crafted.
Right.
When they're considering it.
Right. I mean, I think in a lot of cases, especially this year, if you look at the nominees, American Sniper is just one of several biopics we have out there. Complex characters, complex stories that, again, play, I won't necessarily say fast and loose with the historical elements that they've got, but again, there are shadings in there that we have to appreciate and understand that, again, it's telling a story. So, you know, at some point you have to get over this, okay, well, it has to be just the facts and nothing but the facts, and accept the fact that there's a narrative there that has to play out.
Now, one of your favorites, T.T., is Birdman, right?
Yeah, Birdman is up there on the list for me.
Yeah,
yes.
It's high on your list. Why is that? What do you see as the strengths of this particular movie?
You know, for me, I think the ideas, and again, it's not necessarily a film for everyone, but the craft behind it and the idea that you are looking at this story as if it were one continuous take. It's a lot of technical expertise that goes into shaping that experience for the viewer. Basically putting you inside the head of someone that, to be quite honest, I'm not always sure that we want to spend that much time with. But it's again, that's just fascinating craft.
What are the challenges this movie might face in winning the Oscar?
Well, you know, again, I think the challenge is just that. It's a story that is unfamiliar and potentially uncomfortable for viewers to really want to sort of sink their teeth into. It's not necessarily sort of an easy, crowd-pleasing kind of experience. And that challenge may turn a few people off.
Larry,
let me interrupt here for
go right ahead.
A second. When they expanded this Best Picture category to ostensibly 10 titles, and I think this year we have 8, and they change it every year, who knows why. But the idea was to open it up to some more of the big popular films that people like to gain more viewers. The problem is Hollywood won't admit that the big popular films that get all the viewers, for the most part, are not going to get Oscar nominations. Now, there's a film this year that totally got overlooked, got no love at all, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy. It was a big summer picture, and it was good enough for an Oscar nomination, but yet it's not on the list.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Larry, because I was reading one writer who was saying that, the question he asked was, what if the Oscars honored movies that audiences actually watched? And the list that he came up with had Guardians of the Galaxy on it. It had the Lego Movie. It had Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and movies like that. So, I take it you would agree with what he's saying.
Absolutely. I mean, those films are sort of represented there, but they're usually relegated to the visual effects category.
And, T.T., what's your take on what...
You know,
whole thing.
I think it's funny. I think one of the films that you threw out there, the Captain America, the Winter Soldier, is an incredibly complex story. It falls into that comic book category that people tend to feel like, okay, you're not going to get a lot of love at the Oscars, but it's a complex story, very well told, and I don't understand why the Academy won't go for something like that. It's true.
And especially with the Captain America, Winter Soldier, it proved once again that, again, after all these years, Robert Redford can still act and do a role.
That's very true. Very true.
Larry, isn't one of the points the Academy always makes is it's about the craft and the art more than it is whether it was a blockbuster movie or not?
Yeah, it is that point of view, but in many instances, they can go hand in hand. They don't have to be separate entities, not all the time.
Now, go ahead, Larry.
I was going to say, another picture that comes to mind that could be on a lot of people's 10 best list, I know it certainly would have been on mine if I had done a list, but got no recognition at all, was Chef, the Jon Favreau film, which I thought was just wonderful.
You know, and Chef is another great example of a film that audiences really responded to. I remember the opening here in Cincinnati. That was a film that, again, drew a lot of people in. The food element, the human story, it had all of the key ingredients there. And, again, you're right, it was completely overlooked.
And the nice thing about Chef was you had people who were regular folks. They were flawed. They had problems to overcome. But they were trying hard at it. They want to make things better for them and their families and everybody. Unfortunately, some of these other films, one that strikes me particular, although it's not nominated for Best Picture, was Gone Girl, which was 2.5 hours of unlikable people doing unspeakable things to each other.
Didn't Gone Girl get a Best Actress nomination, though, Larry?
Yeah, and she was very good, Rosamund Pike.
Now, going back to the other nominees for a Best Movie, we've got Boyhood. Larry, what's your take on that one?
Well, I saw somebody write about it. It was the Citizen Kane of the 21st century.
Really?
I don't think it was anywhere near that good. And in some instances, the picture felt like 12 years. But it was a very brave, inventive stroke. Now, if it's going to win something, if it doesn't win Best Picture, and that goes to Birdman, I think Richard Linklater will probably get a Best Director nod for Boyhood simply because it was, you know, so totally out there as far as style.
So what hurdles do you think that Boyhood has to get past to win this?
I think not a lot of people saw it. I mean, there's also Whiplash on the list, and that was touted as the film that's grossed the least money to ever get an Oscar nomination.
Wow. T.T., what do you think about Boyhood?
You know, Boyhood is probably my pick to win. It's funny, though. I would definitely not say it's the best film that I saw of last year. But again, out of this group, it's my pick to win. And I think the interesting thing about it is, much like you have the idea of the trick, if you will, behind Birdman, the trick of Boyhood is actually not really the filming and the idea of shooting a film over 12 years. It's the casting idea of coming up with a young man who we watch grow up before our eyes from ages 6 to 18. And if Linklater and his casting crew had chosen a different young man who, for better or for worse, may not have been as interesting over the course of those 12 years, you'd have a completely different film. This kid that's in this film is just fascinating, and you want to spend time with him. And I think that's probably what tips it over if it actually wins.
Now, we've also got the Grand Budapest Hotel, T.T. What do you think of that one? What are its strengths? What are its weaknesses?
You know, I've never exactly been a huge fan of Wes Anderson, but I have to say the last couple of films have started to win me over. And if you had talked to me maybe by June of last year, I would have easily said that Grand Budapest Hotel was the best thing I had seen up to that point. It's a great film. The story drew me in. And I was really I was pretty excited about it. Of course, you know, you had the second half of the year. Some other films came up and caught attention. But again, this is Anderson kind of stretching a little bit, playing around with story a little bit more. It was very artful and mannered, as his films generally are. But there's a much more intriguing human element to it that, like I said, he's starting to win me over.
Larry, what do you think of the Grand Budapest Hotel?
I agree with T.T. I mean, Wes Anderson usually kind of left me cold with some of his films. I didn't see the glow around them. But then he came along with Moonrise Kingdom a couple of years ago, and that one won me over. So I was really looking forward to Budapest. And in my review, I said that it was if a European art film had been made by the zanies at Mad Magazine. And that's pretty much what it is. It's just goofy as all get out, but it's got a great cast, a great look, and it's funny, which is also sometimes hard to get in an Oscar nominee. They don't seem to like comedies out there.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Does this seem like a more of a serious kind of... we talk about the diversity and variety of the eight nominees, but do these all seem like they're more serious movies this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of serious movies here. Of course, there are a lot of serious movies in general, and that's the group that gets the attention when it comes to critics, which, you know, steers a lot of people to come see these films in the first place.
Now, The Imitation Game, that's another nominee, T.T. What do you think of that one?
You know, the problem for me with The Imitation Game and, to a certain extent, films like Foxcatcher and The Theory of Everything, I saw all of those in Toronto this year, and it basically had this stretch where I caught these biopics, and there are great performances. In The Imitation Game, you've got Benedict Cumberbatch, who it's just mesmerizing to watch, but the films themselves are not really very strong. I mean, I hate to say this, and it taints the idea of how I look at both film and television to a certain extent, but I feel like a lot of these biopics felt like TV movies. You know, there was a strong performance there, but the stories themselves were not captivating. They weren't necessarily big picture stories, and they left certain things out. You know, in the case of Alan Turing in the Imitation Game, there's so much about this man's life beyond what he did with Breaking the Enigma Code that we really don't get a chance to see, that if some of those other elements had been in play, you might have gotten a stronger story.
Larry, what's your take on The Imitation Game?
Yeah, it's kind of like that and The Theory of Everything, kind of like a big-budget masterpiece theater. And speaking of leaving things out, I read that with The Theory of Everything, Stephen Hawking's wife would not allow anything about their personal life, how that went. Yeah, to be shown in the film.
Well, we were going in alphabetical order, but let's skip down the list. The Theory of Everything, Larry, what do you think of its chances?
I don't think it has much of a chance at all. It's just, a placeholder.
T.T., is that your opinion of it as well?
I would tend to agree. The only thing I would say about it is I expect Eddie Redmayne is probably going to walk away with the best actor from that film.
He
but again,
probably will, because he's been mopping up with it everywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
What about Selma? What do you think of that one?
Selma is actually the film that I think, if there's a chance for anything to sneak through the Boyhood Birdman lock that's out there, I think that would possibly be the film. I enjoyed Selma quite a bit. I love the idea that we're getting this chance to see King as a little more than a historic figure. We get to see more of the man, more of the issues and the humanity of him, rather than the iconic essence that we know about and we get all the time from him. I thought it was a masterful kind of way of playing around with him and the image. But again, it fell to, I guess, a lot of the attacks that we've seen about the biopics and how accurate it was during the telling of its story.
In some ways, it kind of suffers from the same problems that American Sniper suffers from.
Sure.
There's been a lot of reaction, both positive and negative, to it. So there's been a lot of noise around it that the voters would have to ignore and just look at the craft of the film and the art of the film in deciding whether it's appropriate to win this.
Right.
Larry, what do you think about Selma?
Selma, you know, a fine film, but I think it suffers from the Oprah syndrome. Here they had Color Purple that Oprah was involved with and got, what, 10, 11 nominations and didn't collect one of them. So this one is the only one it's nominated for, Best Picture, nothing else.
Actually, it does also have, I believe, Best Original Song for John Legend and Common.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
Right, and from all accounts, it's probably a likely win for that category.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Whiplash came up earlier in the conversation. T.T., what do you think of that particular movie?
You know, I loved Whiplash when I saw it at the festival. I had issues, and I continue to have issues with the Academy in terms of how they deal with the screenplay concerns about the film, because it was, I think that it doesn't end up under the original screenplay category. It's under the best adapted, because unfortunately the director had to make a short of the story in order to get funding for it. So the fact that short was out there, that counts against it in terms of the original screenplay category, which I think is just a ludicrous issue that the Academy needs to sort of wake up and sort of figure these kinds of technical tweaks out. But
but the Academy is loaded with ludicrous issues.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But again, it's not going to win, but it was a great film. J.K. Simmons will probably walk away with Best Supporting Actor from it. And I'm looking forward to more from this director.
Larry, what about Whiplash with you? What do you think?
Absolutely. It's like you get somebody who primarily comes from television, like J.K. Simmons, and just jumps out of that screen with a world-class performance like this. You got to admire the guy and the filmmaker for what they did with Whiplash.
Curious, Bob.
Oh, by the way, in case anybody is wondering, Whiplash is not a sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. what about Steve Carell and his role? You know, everybody knows him as he was on The Office. He's been in various different comedies. What do you think of Steve Carell in terms of his chances for Best Actor in a leading role?
It's a little hard for me to speak to that because I didn't catch Foxcatcher.
Okay. What about you, T.T.?
You know, I did catch Foxcatcher, and I have to say it was a very lived-in and very creepy performance. People got a little hung up on the makeup job with the nose. You have to look past that. What he did to transform himself and to really stay in that character was pretty fascinating stuff.
So who do you think is going to win Best Actor?
Eddie Redmayne.
Okay. What about Best Actress? What about you, Larry?
Yeah,
Ditto?
Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Best Actress?
You know, Best Actress looks like it's going to be Julianne Moore for Still Alice. I'm confused a little bit, though, with that particular category, because unfortunately you have films and performances that most audiences didn't get the chance to see. Still Alice just opened here, I believe, like a week or two ago. It's a fascinating film, great performance, but I really wish that the Academy had been able to find and really promote more of the roles out there for women in this past year.
Larry, who would be your choice for Best Actress?
I'm with Julianne Moore all the way. She's done everything with the other awards, and there's no reason to think she's going to stop now. It's her year.
Larry, has the fact that so many people now see films, even for the first time, on maybe a 50-inch TV screen all the way down to tablet size, has that changed how people now think about all movies? The old experience of the big screen is something that's being lost?
No, I don't think so, because some people relish the big screen treatment, especially with films like the aforementioned Guardians of the Galaxy. You wouldn't want to watch that on your cell phone, for Pete's sake. You want to see it as big and as bold as possible.
So there's still room for the big screen, TT?
I think there is definitely still room for the big screen, but I think really what happens, unfortunately, is it's up to us to accept the idea that, you know what, those other screen options are available, and it means that we have the opportunity to see films that may not make the big screens in our areas. So in some ways, it's a boon for the audience.
Hey, real quick, in the final about 15 seconds we have left, TT, if you were going to recommend one of these movies that someone should go see this weekend, what would it be?
Leviathan. It's the Russian film that's up for a Best Foreign Language Oscar. It's the best film I saw last year. Amazing.
What about you, Larry?
Wow, that is a tough one. I would probably have to go with the one that's nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, which is IDA, I-D-A, and just absolutely blew me away when I saw it.
TT and Larry, thanks for talking with us this afternoon. Have fun watching the Academy Awards this weekend.
All right.
And the Oscar goes to... Arcaney!
Larry Thomas. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday up next on 91.7.